Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hey, that was super. Thank you for leading. Thank you, Barbara. It's terrific. Well, the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's what God says. And during the Christmas season, I know everybody in the world is drawing closer to Jesus. Not necessarily. They're drawing closer to Walmart. Yeah. Huh? Not you? Okay. Well, but that's it's a good reminder. Somebody asked me one time, they said, are you ready for Christmas? And I said, I sure am. They said, really? Already? I said, yes, I've got Jesus in my heart. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you are ready for Christmas. Well, hey, I've got a friend of mine coming up to speak to us today, give us an update what's going on around the world. He literally will give you an update of what's going on around the world. I mean, he goes everywhere. I've been trying to get him to come up here and share with us for several months, and he's always gone. He's out of the country. I think he just got back from the North Pole or something, but he's been out, but he's back. And so we're so glad he lives here, and we get to fellowship with Ryan every once in a while, good friend of me and good friend of Doug's and other pastors in the area. So we're real happy to have him. He's with MANA Worldwide. He's not one of our AG missionaries, but he is a missionary. And so we'd really like to go through the process of kind of recognizing him. But today he's got a little sheet of paper. If you'd put your email on it, he promises not to harass you. He'll just give you updates on what they're doing. And keep you up to date, send you pictures and things. And I love looking at your newsletters on the email. They're really good. Not just informative, but they're inspirational as well. So Ryan's an inspirational kind of guy. So come on up here and share with us. And when you get done, just look at me.
Okay. All right. Minglawa, Janoname Ryan. Hello from Myanmar, in case your Burmese is rusty. My name is Ryan. I really don't know. I barely speak English. So, I'm an Aggie. So, there you go. Now, I'm from Dumas, Texas. Anybody know where Dumas is at? It is a great place to be from. And not currently there. No, I grew up on a farm about 20 miles out in the country. And I could see the grain silos in town. 20 miles away, it was so flat. But my dad came to me in seventh grade and said, son, you're going to college someday, and I'm not paying for it. So you better start working now. I said, okay. It was a great savings program. And I worked with a couple other farmers over there. Can you hear me still? Okay. I worked for several farmers in the area, drove the tractor, did whatever was needed on the farm. Went to school at Texas A&M, got a degree in civil engineering. But I came to know the Lord as my Savior when I was a freshman. And that's when I started my relationship with Him. And my dad wasn't saved at all. And I remember some kids came and they were our church was going to take a youth group on a mission trip. And I wanted to go so bad. I went and talked to my dad and said, hey, can I go on this mission trip? And he said, no. He said, the most important thing in life is how hard a man works. And this church stuff really is not important at all. It's just a waste of time. And so you need to stay home and work. So I stayed home and worked. And those kids came back and they shared the story of what God had done in their lives, what God had done in the lives around them. I remembered at that moment purposing in my heart, Lord, if it's ever in my power, I want to not ever miss another mission trip. And so sometimes you're going to plant the seed in somebody's life by just telling your story. Just tell what God's done. And that's what planted in my life. And I prayed for my dad. I prayed for my dad for years. And it's hard to witness to your father. And excuse me, I'm the runt of my family. I'm the smallest person in my family. And my dad got a brain tumor. And it was tough watching this man that was much bigger than I am, couldn't carry himself anymore. And he had it for 14 years and he finally died. But what was really neat about that was halfway through the brain tumor, he got saved. And that was probably the best phone call I ever got, was when he called me and said, hey, I want to tell you what I did today. And so I know where he stands right now. And I don't know that he would have gotten saved without the brain tumor. I think it brought him to a place that he could understand and accept. And so it sounds weird to say it, but I'm kind of grateful my dad had a brain tumor because it changed his life and it changed my life. And it's beautiful what God's done. And so my wife and I married a girl from Dumas. We high school friends. We became friends on mission trips, actually. But we didn't date till college. And we were just good friends. We started dating. We got married. I went on to get my master's degree because I wanted two more years of football. Of watching football, not playing football. No. And then I got hired and we moved to Philadelphia. You know, and it's always interesting moving from growing up in West Texas, going to Texas A&M, and then moving to Philly. You know, it's, I remember the first time we went to New York City and we drove because I'm like, I'm not taking a train. You drive in Texas. So we drive and here I am, Times Square, 5 o'clock, red Chevy pickup with a grill guard and Texas tags. And it was awesome. I never drove again. I learned how to use public transportation. But you know, there was a pivotal moment. We'd go all over and tour and see stuff and we were actually standing in the World Trade Center. And we're waiting in line. It was like a 3 hour wait to get to the top. And we were like, you know what? I'm not waiting that long to go to the top of World Trade Center. We'll just come back. It's not like they're going anywhere. And 3 weeks later they were gone. That was end of August. And that was a pivotal moment in my life because I came to the realization there's so many things in our lives that we think are permanent, that aren't moving, aren't going anywhere. I can put off. I can do tomorrow. I can wait. And no matter how big they are, they could be gone tomorrow. And that's when I tried to start living with more purpose in my life. And moved to Denver. And then I got hired as an environmental consultant, did environmental consulting. And then I started my own business. And things were going great. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to be able to do mission work full time. My wife and I are like, hey, I'm going to be able to back myself out of my business and be able to do mission work. And moved here to Fort Worth where a couple of partners were, and the business grew to 3 states and 7 cities, and it was going great. I'm like, man, this is awesome. And I met this guy one day, and he tells this story about how he'd lost his business. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I lost a lot of customers and felt like if I could infuse capital in my business, I could keep it afloat. And I could make it to the other side and I'd be fine, but I lost everything. And I meet 4 men in 2 weeks, the same story. And I go before God, I'm like, God, why are you sending me all these men with the same story? And I guess I was an Aggie, it took 4. Maybe a TCU guy would have taken 1, but it took me 4. So, and I felt like he said, so you won't make the same mistake. And I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, the next day I get a call from a client. They file for bankruptcy. In 45 days, we lost 60% of our business. Just overnight. It was crazy. And I met with the other 2 partners. We're going to start losing money like crazy. And they said, you know what? Let's just go get a bunch of capital. We'll infuse it in this business. We'll keep it afloat to the other side of the recession. We find this like in 2008, 2009. And I said, I don't think we should do that. So I told them what God had told me. And we sat down. We prayed together. And they said, if God's given us this wisdom, let's heed it. And so we sold the business. We sold all the different divisions off. And I remember sitting. It was like my 32nd birthday. I was like, happy birthday. They had a birthday party for me. And I showed them, hey, how was your day? I said, well, lost my business. You know, happy birthday to me. No. But I remember praying like, God, what do you mean to do now? I had this whole plan figured out how my wife and I were going to do mission work. And I remember God just saying clear as day, I want you to connect business and missions. And I'm thinking, well, how does that work? You know, how do I become a connector of missions? Because I realized that there's a lot of people in this world that were like me that feel like, what do I have to give the kingdom? I've got no gifts. I got no talents. They don't realize what they have. I was just an engineer. I'm like a nobody, you know? And God showed me how he could use my gifts and talents and resources to work in the kingdom. And there's missionaries on the field that need help. And how do you connect those together? How do you be that, come that bridge and that connector to take those resources? And so God just started opening doors. And I went on with my church's missions director, and then a little over about 6.5 years ago, they sent us out as a missionary with Manna Worldwide. And consequently, I told the Lord I never wanted to live in Denver or Dallas-Fort Worth, and I moved to Fort Worth from Denver. So now I tell him I will not live in Honolulu. And I'm still in Fort Worth, though. And then I told the Lord I wanted to go do mission works full time, but I'm not going to raise my own support. And God laughed again. And so now they sent us out and they said, okay, you got to go raise your support. I'm like, how does that work? Go raise it. And so God's just, it's amazing how God's worked to raise support. We have a lot of churches, a lot of individuals that support us monthly to help us go do. And consequently, one of the farmers I worked for on the farm, they went with us to Thailand. Like 20 years later, they called and said, hey, we want to go on a mission trip. I said, yeah, let's go. I'm going to Thailand. So they came with me to Thailand. And on that trip, they said, you know what? This saved our marriage. I'm like, how did this save your marriage? They said, you know what? We sold the farm. We retired. Their parents had passed away. He's like, golf got boring. You know, he's like, we had nothing to do. We literally retired. And we had no purpose. And he goes, now we have a purpose. And they support us monthly, and they support a teacher in Thailand. And it's just amazing how God used connections from 20, 30 years ago in our lives. You never know who you're going to impact and you're going to meet that's going to open the door for God to do something in an amazing way. And that's just been the story of my life. And so that's kind of who I am. I wanted to talk about what we do. I was trying to figure out how's the best way to do it. You know, I joked about I don't really speak English very well. I'm trying to help myself here. My English teacher always told me in high school, if you want to share something, you want to do who, what, where, when, why, and how, right? So I thought, okay, let's do who, what, where, when, why, and how of what we're doing around the world. And first I wanted to show, I was going to try to tell stories because that can get kind of boring, so I'll try to tell stories from this past year. So if we could show the first picture. And this is awesome. So this is, no, I'm kidding. And that is not our picture. But you know what? So ministerially speaking, we were serving no, I'm kidding. So this is a doctor in Fort Worth. And it's just so cool how God works. I took a team of doctors to Guatemala in April. And you never know who's going to sign up on a trip. And I always tell people, just go. If God's calling you, go. I had a situation. I was in Nicaragua. We're in this church. The wiring's awful. And I'm sitting with a missionary, and he goes, man, I wish I could rewire this, but I don't know anything about electricity. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to help you much either. And this guy standing next to me goes, well, I'm an electrician. I was like, where'd you come from? He's like, he was from Florida. Just doing. He goes, I don't know. God told me to come on the trip, so I came. Next thing you know, he rewired the whole church. You know, so you never know. Same situation here. This is a doctor. He's a pediatric doctor. Works at like Cook's Children's and other places. And he's like, what's God going to use a pediatrician for in Guatemala? And the next thing you know, these are one-month-old twins that were preemies that he got to work on. And we had three or four ladies that were pregnant that they had. Someone at the last minute gave them a sonogram machine. They packed in a suitcase. Like, well, I don't think we're going to use this, but okay. And they're doing sonograms every day in these remote villages. So it's pretty cool how God will use people. Go from Fort Worth to Guatemala. And we worked in a Mayan village. Alright, so after that, it's like, who are we? Who is Manuel? Well, we're a group of missionaries. And I kind of told you the background that we have, but we help people plant churches. My wife's a physical therapist, and we're going to Cambodia next month with a medical team, same medical team to work in Cambodia. She's going to do physical therapy, working outreaches in Cambodia. But Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And I think God's given us a calling in our lives. And he's given us work to do. And sometimes we think that work isn't for the kingdom, but it is. We don't recognize how God's given us a place in this church, in this community, around the world. Sorry, sir.
Sorry. I'm going to take your picture.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Try to find the good side. But, you know, so we're with Manna Worldwide, and we're helping plant churches. We're helping connect. Because I realize here in America, people have churches that you have outreaches and things and opportunities to reach the community. How can we bring that to the field? Is it a feeding center? Is it an orphanage? Is it a school? God works in so many different ways. And we have another picture. Now you're making me nervous. We have the next picture. Let's see here. All right. So this is a cool story. This is a Vietnamese youth. And this trip started out awful. So this summer we were gone for like 8 weeks and took team after team after team. We were in Myanmar, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, Japan, and China and working with teams and people. And so we're in Vietnam. I took a train. So this time I'm like, we always fly into Saigon. Let's take a train for once, just see the countryside. My family and I, because we're already over there to meet the team there. So I get on a train that I thought was a 5-stop, 7-hour train. 25 stops and 20 hours later, we arrive. Yeah, I was like, oh, no, this is awful. And my girls were like, this is awesome. I'm like, we need to redefine your definition of awesome. You know, but this is a cool story. So we did a youth camp, and there are 200 Vietnamese youth. And the police show up. They wanted to shut it down. They didn't want anything. They didn't want Christians there, and they were threatening and stuff. So we get together, we just start praying, God, give us favor. Give the Vietnamese pastors favor. And God moved. And the police said, you know what, we're coming back tonight. They never came back. And 15 Vietnamese youth got saved. 9 more surrendered to full-time ministry. And what's cool is we started a school in Saigon to reach the youth that have fallen out. Because what happens is you have kids that don't know how to read, don't know how to write, they fall out of school. So the pastor says, I want to reach those kids. I want to give them an opportunity and then share the gospel. And so they started teaching these kids, and there was a 16-year-old boy that couldn't read, couldn't write, they'd been working with. And because they came to our school, they got invited to the youth camp. They came to the youth camp, and that boy now knows Jesus Christ as a Savior. So you ask, how do projects help reach people? So I'm telling you, people don't care what you know till they know that you care. And you show them that you care, and it changes lives. So that leads me to what? What do we do? So we start orphanages, schools, feeding centers to help missionaries. We help them reach their people and be the hands and feet of Christ on the ground. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And I was in Guatemala 2 weeks ago, and we did the orphans there is like 30 kids, and the kids said, hey, can we have a big dinner and pass the food around like they do on TV in America? You know? And so we had turkey, we had this huge dinner, and we just passed the meal like we were a big family. And you know, it's just the little things. We take it for granted, you know? We're gonna go sit around a table, and these kids don't know. They don't have family. And so God calls us to that. Calls us to reach those kind of people. Here's the next photograph. These are my two daughters. This is Kaylee and this is Reagan. They're 13 and 15. So this is a cool story. Their feet are nasty. So a group of us men went to go work in a Thai prison to work with the inmates. And our ability to walk in the prison was we were going to help teach English. And so part of teaching English, though, is we get to tell our testimony and they get to translate. And while we're in the prison working, it turns out another thing, like, really, God knows. I had a guy that's Puerto Rican, fluent in Spanish, on the trip with us. We're going to work in this Thai prison. Turns out in the Thai prison, there's a Colombian guy that he was not the sharpest tool in the shed. So if you're going to go rob someone, make sure it's not a Thai judge. He and a group of his buddies went and robbed a house. It turned out to be a judge. So this guy's in prison for a long time. But he speaks Spanish. He doesn't speak Thai. He has no one to minister to him. And we just so happen to have a fluent Spanish guy on a trip to Thailand. They got to spend 2 hours ministering to him. I mean, you tell me our God doesn't care. It's amazing. Well, while the men were in the prison, the ladies helped paint a church. Now, in Thai culture, you have to take your shoes off if you go into a house. So they had to paint barefoot. And that's why their feet are so nasty. But the story is, there's this church. The pastor's wife died of cancer last year, last Christmas. And he was struggling. And the ladies went and painted his church and cleaned his church. And I'm like, you know what? If all we do on a mission trip is go encourage that man or that woman to go another mile, to go another year, to keep going, that someone else. I was in Japan, and we wanted to go help. And they said, no. We're going to have a big fellowship day. And I'm like, well, fellowship day, what is that? And they said, the fact that people from around the world are going to come and spend time with us encourages, because nobody comes. And they said, so sometimes you're going to go just to encourage, just to be that encouragement and that support and do that stuff. And they loved it. And I think of the scripture, how beautiful are the feet. You know, and I think of our lives. I think of my daughters and how God uses them and how proud I am when I see God using them. And I realize he feels the same about me as his son when he sees us being used. The next one is where. We're in 42 countries, have about 180 projects. We started in the Philippines. It's crazy. A couple of missionaries were in the Philippines, and probably the easiest way to share what we do is just say, what was the need? They saw some ladies that had children that needed to eat. And instead of just giving them money, they said, let's start a feeding program. They didn't know how they were going to do it or how they were going to fund it. They thought, maybe we can do a couple kids. The next thing you know, they're feeding 250 kids 5 days a week. And all the kids are getting saved, and the parents are getting saved, and the community's being reached. And so the missionaries go, how are you doing this? I said, we just did what Jesus did, and we fed them. And we loved on them. We shared the gospel with our lives to them. And they said, man, I wish we could do that, but we don't have the resources. And that's when I said, you know what? Maybe we can fix the problem. And they came off the field from the Philippines. They moved to America, and in 2001 started Manna Worldwide. And that's what we do. We help enable those missionaries that have those programs to reach their people. And now we have 180 projects in 42 countries. And it's amazing what God's doing. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And we haven't made it to every country yet. We're trying. And we just opened up a project here in Fort Worth, a warehouse project to help churches. We're getting millions of dollars in inventory in that we can then work with churches to get to them. They can give to the people in their communities. So it's with partnerships with Walmarts and Home Depots and Bed Baths and Beyond and things of that nature. And so as I'd love with Pastor Steve talk to him about that, there's a way we can help Vision Church reach your community. Because, you know, there may be someone that needs a mattress or whatever, a heater or something like that. Maybe God's providing. So it's a cool opportunity to start helping people here in our own backyard as well. Next picture. All right, so this is a cool story. Crazy. Okay, this is the craziest thing. So these two, they're Mennonites from Ohio. I was drilling a water well in Honduras, and I met this couple. 4 years later, they emailed me and said, "Hey, we're in Ohio. Would you come up? We want to take a mission trip." And the next thing you know, I have 33 Mennonites in Bangkok. You know, nothing could possibly go wrong with 33 Mennonites in Bangkok, right? And there were 38 of us total, and when we take the SkyTrain, I get to a station, I have to get everybody off and count them because it's crazy and I don't want to lose anybody. So we get to a station, everybody gets off, and I'm like, okay, everybody up against the wall. This poor little Thai lady's up against the wall like this, you know. I'm like, no, not you. And she's like the only one that spoke English on the train, I guess. But it's really cool. So neat couple. We took a team there. We had two bakers, actually. Oh, I'll tell that story in a minute, but that's another photograph. But this couple here, they did construction work. They did sewing classes. We took water filters. And this is another cool story how God changes our plans. So we were supposed to be taking these 20 water filters to southern Thailand where the tsunami had hit a couple years ago to give to some Burmese refugees there. And I called the missionary like right before about to leave because we spent the first part of the trip in Bangkok. And I said, "Hey, I just want to make sure you're still ready for us. We can hand these out." And he said, he goes, "Actually, you're going to have to give them out in Bangkok. It's not going to work here. I'm so sorry. It's just not going to work out." And I'm panicking going, okay, well, we'll figure something out. I talked to the missionary in Bangkok. He says, "You know what? Let's just give them to the Pakistani refugees at church tonight." I go, "That would be awesome." So we put them all together. We take them to that church tonight the guy on the left, Pakistani, the two guys, men on the left are Pakistani. They have a church there for these refugees. And we hand out the filters. And one of the guys comes up and says, "This afternoon we got together as a family. We didn't have any clean water. And we prayed that God would somehow move heaven and earth and would provide us clean water for our family." I go, "Well, he did, because he changed our plans about 3 hours ago, and they're here instead of in southern Thailand now." So God does some amazing things. You don't even know. You just pack. God just gives you things in your life that you don't know when you're going to use them, and then the opportunity comes, and you do, and he changes your plan. And I'm an engineer, so I like things orderly. I like to plan stuff, and then God laughs at me and changes it all. So, yeah. But God will use. It's just so cool watching how people from rural Ohio can be used halfway around the world. So when? Who, what, where, when? Is now, obviously. John 4:35 says, "Do not say, therefore are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see if the fields are white for the harvest." And that's honestly the story I learned at the World Trade Center and other times. It's now. And people think, you know, it's so neat to see, like I've got retired people. I had a guy that was like 76 on one of my trips, you know, this last year, and then I have like 8-year-olds. And it's so cool watching the gamut of how God's going to use everybody. I don't care where you're at in your life, how young, how old, how many skill sets you think you have. God already knew. He created you. And he created you to do something he created nobody else on the face of the earth to do. And I love watching him do that. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And the time is short. The time is short in here in Lake Worth. The time is short in Texas, in the United States. It's short around the world. And I just want to make the most use of what I've got. So next photograph. This photograph right here, I don't know if anybody, does anybody recognize flags? I don't know if you do that or not. Left one's China, the right one's North Korea. So everything behind that barbed wire is North Korea. And we have a project in North Korea. We have a daycare there, work with a missionary. And it's just amazing how God's opening doors, even in North Korea, for the gospel to be spread, for people to know who he is, to give people opportunities to go work there. And so be praying for even places like that. There's some dark places in this world. And even in the darkness, the light shines the brightest. So God can move on the hearts of men and leaders. People say, we need to do this. The UN needs to do that. Listen, at the end of the day, this is the only thing that's going to change this world. And I don't care what government programs you have. It's Jesus Christ who's going to change this world. He's going to change nations. He's going to change hearts. And even in North Korea. Speaking of, I have prayer cards back there. So if you'd like to get one of our prayer cards and stick it on your fridge, it has a picture of my family. They're a lot cuter than I am. I used to make my girls their own little cards, and mine would go in the trash, and theirs would go in the fridge. But no. I did have one girl on a trip this summer, though, and she goes, "Hey, I've got your picture on my fridge." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, we have a stalker." Turns out it was a prayer card. So it's like, man, I should watch what I put on Facebook. All right, why? Why do we do what we do? Because God loved us. God loved us first. 1 John 3:17 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." And then if you go down one more chapter, it says, "We love because he first loved us." God loved me. God saved me. God pulled me out of who I was and gave me a future. And he's done that for all of us here. And that's why we do what we do. I tell people, I'm probably breaking some missionary code here, but I'm like, people go, "Oh man, look at what you gave up. You gave up jobs. You gave up housing. You gave up opportunities. You gave up this. You gave up that." I was like, I didn't give up anything. I was like, my daughter spent 8 months in like seven cities, or eight weeks in seven cities overseas this summer, getting to minister to all these different cultures. I was like, I could be making $500,000 a year and I couldn't have given that to my daughters. So I don't, God has given me so much more than I ever gave up. An opportunity or whatever. And I realized that God loved us. God's blessed us. How can I use that for his kingdom? So the next picture real quick. All right. So this couple in the back, they're from Boston. This is my wife right here. She's not from Boston. And really cool. So I'm meeting with this couple. They own a bakery. They said, "Man, we'd love to do mission work, but we're just bakers. Like, what could we possibly do on a mission trip?" And I go, "Let's go." And so they went. We have a little culinary school at this place. And so they're teaching these Burmese girls how to bake so they can have a skill. Well, coolest story about it. Anybody watch the Netflix? There's a show called Sugar Rush. It's like a baking competition. If you go to episode 8, they won episode 8. They flew them to Los Angeles. They did the whole thing. And the winnings from that show paid for their trip to Thailand to go use it. So I'm just saying, God just does crazy things. So here's this couple, thought they were just the bakers, had no skill set, are now teaching baking classes in Thailand to Burmese refugee kids and sharing the gospel in the process. So God will use you. If you can bake, let's go. I like to eat myself. I struggle with Pastor Steve. I told my doctor fat people are harder to kidnap. And he told me I need to lose weight. I said, "Well, fat people are harder to kidnap." And he wasn't convinced. But hey, I tried. Last one, how. How do we do? We identify missionaries that have needs, and how can we help them? And this is a cool segue in this picture right here. I'm going to read the verse first. Philippians 4:16-17. "Even at Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." And Luke 8:3 says, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna and many others who provided for them out of their means." Now, here's the craziest verse here. Do you realize Herod supported Jesus' ministry? Think about that. This lady's husband worked for Herod, and she was like one of Herod's managers. And so he gets paid a salary, and that salary they use as a family to give to Jesus Christ. I mean, so Herod supported Christ. And so I'm just saying, God's going to use your resources in your life to reach the world. And this is a cool story. So this man right here, this is my whole family. This is Laverne Rogers. He was on a Navy ship at the end of World War II. And so he has the Victory Medal or whatever you call it. MacArthur came out and he said, "Would Christians in America come to Japan to help rebuild after the war?" So in 1950, he and his wife got on a boat for 33 days and went to Japan as missionaries. And he's been there. His wife has since passed. And he's been a missionary there ever since, 68 years. He's in his 90s. Unbelievable, in Japan. So we went there. We're helping build a youth camp in Japan to reach the Japanese youth. The lady right here, her great-grandfather is the last samurai. So if you've seen the movie, I mean, it's Hollywood, so. But the Japanese man that's the last samurai, that was her grandfather, great-grandfather. And they have a statue of him in downtown Tokyo, and she got saved. And she's now in her 90s serving in the church. And I'm just saying, I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you go from. God's going to use you in amazing ways. He's going to use your story. He's going to use your heritage. He's going to use your kids and your grandkids. And he's going to help you redeem your family. And you think of the families that in the past, I mean, I have alcoholics. I have a lot of people in my family. And God's allowed us to redeem our family. And he'll let you do the same thing too. And it's so cool to watch this man. We were cutting down trees. So he's telling us how to cut these trees down. And there's this guy that's there. And we're cutting this tree with a chainsaw, and Laverne's like on the back pushing it. And it's a 91-year-old man pushing on this tree. And it starts to crack. And the guy next to him, he's big, he's like 6'7". He goes, I've never cut a tree down, I don't know what I was doing. And he goes, it starts cracking, and he goes, I'm thinking, which way am I supposed to run? And he goes, and then I thought, am I supposed to grab the old guy and take him with me? Like, do I grab him and run, or do I run? What's gonna happen? It was a hoot. But we cut down trees on a mission trip. And it worked out really well. And is there one more picture? I think that's it. Okay, good. And so that's been our year in review, so to speak, of how God's moved. I appreciate your prayers. God moves mountains. He really does. And your prayers, I guarantee, you know, like even with the Vietnamese thing, there are people here praying. There's going to be times that God's going to call you to pray for a missionary or pray for your pastor. And you're like, I don't know what I'm praying about, but God, you know. Pray, because he'll move mountains. He'll move around the world. You have no idea what's going on in your pastor's life, or maybe your friend's life, or your family member's life, or other people's lives. You don't know, but just pray. It's the middle of the night. I don't care when he wakes you up. Pray, because you don't know what God's doing. And you don't know the attacks that the enemy's bringing, and how that you could help bring light to the darkness. I'll finish with this. I have a video. And this is a video. I took all these photographs. You'll recognize a couple of them, but this has been 2018 thus far. And when it's done, Pastor Steve will be up. Thank you very much.